Well, good morning and welcome to my presentation about interventions to prevent or reverse prediabetes. I'm Carol Hodges. I'm from Vermont. I'm that state that's getting the snow right now, I guess. I don't know how many people know the population of Vermont is just a little over 600,000. So for some of you in this room, that's a lot less than you have even in your county. I am a graduate student at the University of Vermont in community public health nursing, and this pilot was done at a facility in northeastern region of Vermont. The objectives that I wanted to cover today were that you would be able to see how this worksite project was congruent with both the organizational goals and the employees' goals, and also how this initiative to make lifestyle behavioral modifications to improve the health status can extend out into the community. So I'm thinking I'm missing a slide here. Okay. So I think all of us are pretty much aware about the, it's automatically moving my stuff. Is that supposed to do that? Okay, I think all of us know about the chronic care conditions that are actually a worldwide problem, that poor diet and lack of physical activity actually lead to 300 deaths each year, and it adds to the health disparity of our nation and also of the world. When I was developing this project, I looked at some research that had been done prior related to behavioral modification and weight loss management and occupational medicine. And the diabetes prevention program was actually a 27-center RCT study that had been done in Indiana in 2003. And what they wanted to do was decide whether lifestyle interventions or pharmacological interventions would prevent or delay the onset of diabetes in those people who had impaired glucose tolerance and were at risk for the disease but had not been diagnosed either with prediabetes or diabetes. So they were able to demonstrate that with structural diet and physical activity, that there could be a moderate 1 to 2 pounds per week weight loss, as well as maintain, as long as they stayed with that regimen, could maintain their weight loss. And also, it did reduce the development of diabetes. In 2005, in North Dakota, there was another study, and that was with the YMCA model. And they that was a community partnership with the community health center and the local YMCA. And they looked at patients who had, or people who had type 2 diabetes and were low income, and providing access for them to have group exercise. I also looked at occupational medicine research. And this was a schematic by Shane and Kramer's research in 2004, which basically talks about the risks and costs are progressively related to one another, and that the average earnings and productivity lost per worker per year were around $1,600 at that time. And of course, smokers were at increased risk for that. This is another schematic from Shane and Kramer, and this really talks about how health promotion in a work environment can be a win-win situation. And that the National Health Survey in 2003 said that there were $63 billion each year that was lost or cost $63 billion a year in lost work and productivity. And that increasing physical activities for your employees decreases fatigue and therefore decreases illness and injuries. And as I said, it's a win-win situation for that for the employee and for the organization. So the target population for this project were nurses at this small community hospital. And the assumption was that a large percentage of these nurses were actually at risk for prediabetes because they were viewed as being unhealthy related to their weight status. Many of them were overweight. And also their inactivity. They had a very low or sedentary lifestyle. Another reason for choosing this particular population was that I thought there might be a secondary gain, and that would be to improve patient outcomes. That by enhancing the knowledge, the nurses' knowledge, and increasing awareness about prediabetes, that that would roll out to their patients, and when they were admitted to the hospital, they might have an aha moment and actually say, oh, I think this person's at risk for diabetes or prediabetes, and do a little health promotion within the facility. So I did hand out surveys in October of last fall, and this is a picture of what Vermont looked like at the time that I did the surveys and the walking group was started. But the surveys were handed out on the evening and night shift on October 15th, and the following morning they were handed out to the 7-3 nurses. There are six units, nursing units within the nursing department of the hospital, and there were 52 surveys that were handed out. These surveys actually dealt with questions about patient education and the definition of health by that nurse, and also what that nurse's perception was of what somebody with diabetes might view health. There was a health risk assessment tool as well as a readiness to change tool, which were provided by the Vermont Department of Health. And there was also a section about them to choose what kind of activity or write in what kind of activity that they would choose if they were to increase their activity level. What times of the day, what days of the week, how often they wanted that, and those were the discussed. 35% of the surveys were returned, and they showed that a quarter of the respondents were actually interested in the walking group, and as well as stress reduction class, and a third of them were interested in having some sort of internal program. So this is the walking group. At their first meeting, they decided that they really only wanted to meet once a week, and that because of the time limits on their lives, and that if they wanted to walk more often, that they would contact either each other, or as it turns out, they contacted friends that weren't actually working at the institution. And they also contacted coworkers. Only three departments were represented in this or three units were represented in the walking group, so they would ask other coworkers to join them. Each session began, I'll go back to that screen. Each session actually began with an education session, and they were also, it was a verbal session as well as giving them written information to reinforce that educational session. The length of the pilot was supposed to go only 4 weeks, but they felt that they wanted to. Okay, they felt that they wanted to actually have it extend because the overall goal for the group was that they didn't want to gain any weight during the holiday season. And if you you saw that other picture that's going to come up next, you'll see that this is what it looked like when it ended, and it didn't come. It came pretty early last year in November. So it did put some impact on their walking, but they still met, and if they couldn't walk outside, they went to the mall where they could walk. And actually, the information that was shared at the educational session was actually talked about during the two-mile walk and in how to apply it either to their own life or to their friends and families. So So they did complete an interim survey, and on that interim survey, it actually asked about personal goals, did the risk assessment help, and they also completed this biostatistics at three different times. This what happened is the hospital was implementing a program called SCORE Health, and by doing that, SCORE Health was a screening and referral tool looking at cardiac risk. And the only thing different was for cardiac risk and the prediabetes risk was the glucose tolerance test. And the lab did agree to move forward and allow the people in the walking group to have the glucose tolerance test done in January when they signed up for SCORE Health. These were some of the educational tools that were used. They reassessed their readiness to change. The percentage of them were at a 6.75 on the scale, which put them at the point where they'd gone past thinking about it, and now they were ready to prepare a plan. But just by joining the walking group, they had already moved up on that scale. So it just gave them an almost instant positive confidence thing to move forward with the plan. So they all had personal goals. We had the personal health risk assessment. They also had a post-test, and the post-test came out with many of the same things that were involved in the interim test, but that they also, it showed that they could be motivated, and all the participants did achieve the goal of not gaining weight over that period of time. But one of the barriers that was identified was, of course, time and energy to participate. And the this project had a very small sample size, and it was non-experimental. So it's really difficult to say whether the improvements were directly related to the lifestyle changes or whether it was directly related to the walking group. But the important take-home message, I think, with this project was that sometimes just having a group meet once a week can give enough motivation to that individual to pursue those goals, especially if they're followed with an action plan and a diary. So, those are my references. And this is my contact information if you're interested. Okay. Thank you.
Perfectly timed. Thank you. Our next speaker is Bill Scarborough. Dr. Scarborough.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for getting up so early and coming to join us. Crank this off. I'd like to